Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praises to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue the topic of depression. This is actually the fifth class of that topic of depression. And the title of the class of today is Depression Can't Change Allah's Decree. All praise to Allah, the Almighty, the One. Allah the Creator, Allah the Most Merciful. As He is teaching His believers the way to live the worldly life in a peaceful, healthy way, in spite of its nature as a test of hardships and trials. It is the greatest blessing of Allah to guide the hearts of the true believer to the ways to protect their spirits from depression, despair, and failure. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the Islamic way for protection and treatment of depression. We learned last week that the line of Islamic treatment and prevention of depression is based on, number one, the sincere belief in the oneness of Allah. Number two, the true belief in Allah's decree. Number three, patience. Number four, underlying the reality of the worldly life and making the hereafter one's main concern. Number six, continuous remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through prayer, dua, and asking forgiveness of Allah. And number seven, a healthy way of life, food, sleep, and exercise. Actually, last week we learned about the most important basic fundamental belief in life, which is the belief in the oneness of Allah. This belief is the most important for the spirit, as it provides it with the feeling of belonging to Allah, the only power, the only will, the source of all the mercy. This belonging will make the spirit to feel the link with Allah all the time. That is to say, to feel the trust, support, hope, power, peace, tranquility, and happiness. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the Islamic concept regarding prevention and treatment of depression. And the second line of prevention and treatment is the belief in Allah's decree. Today, inshallah, we will learn some Quranic rules regarding Allah's decree. They are very important for the believer to support him at the time of trials and hardship. These rules are, I will mention the rules and then, inshallah, we will discuss every one of them in details. The first rule is, all hardships and afflictions are recorded before their creation. This is mentioned in Surah number 57, verse number 22 and 23. I will mention all in details. Just now I will mention them in summary. The second rule is, life is run by the word be. The third rule is, none can interfere with Allah's decree. The fourth rule is, Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. Next, it may be that you hate a thing and it is good for you. Next, verily with every hardship there is ease. And next, trials expiate sins. The last rule is that is the declaration of the believer regarding Allah's decree. And now, inshallah, we will start to learn about these rules one by one in detail so that, inshallah, we keep these rules in our heart and in our mind very clear to us all the time so that, inshallah, we will be ready for any problem or affliction or trial, as this is the nature of the worldly life, and inshallah we can protect our spirits with the belief in these Quranic rules from any bad feeling related to trials or hardship. The first rule related to the belief in Allah's decree is the rule which is mentioned in Surah number 57, Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 22 and 23. which means that all hardships and affliction are recorded before their creation. So now we will read from Surah number 57, verse number 22 and 23. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves but is it inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah. In order that you may not grieve at the things that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you. And Allah likes not prideful boasters.
So actually, these two verses of the Quran are teaching us the following facts. Number one, there is nothing that touches you or happens to you. That is to say, all sufferings and diseases, but is inscribed in the book of decrees before the creation was created and before the start of life. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ordained the measures of everything 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. We need to realize that Allah knows all things before they occur, and Allah records them exactly as they will occur, when they occur, and this is easy for Him. Verily, Allah knows what happened, what will happen, and why, and what didn't happen. So the logic question is, why Allah is informing us that everything is recorded before its creation? Why Allah is informing us this information? The answer is that we must believe that what has met us would never have missed us, and what has missed us would never have met us. Therefore, don't grieve for what you have missed of fortune, because had it not been decreed for you, you would have achieved it. And also, don't rejoice about what Allah has favored you with, because it is not you who earned it. Rather, it is a provision from Allah the Almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us always to accept His decree, believing that this is what Allah decreed, believing that, you know, it is already recorded 50,000 years before, you know, the change, before the creation of the heavens and the earth. The second Quranic rule is that related to the belief in Allah's decree is that life is run by the word decree. We will read now from Surah Yasin, Surah number 36, verse number 82, to know about this Quranic rule. بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون.
Verily, His command when He intends a thing is only that He says to it be and it is.
Actually, this verse means that everything in the universe or on the earth, it is all the same, requiring no more than a simple word, be, and it is. Nothing is easier or more difficult, near or far. Once Allah intends something, it exists, whatever it may be. This Quranic rule clarifies the absolute ownership and the complete authority of Allah, the Almighty, over everything in the universe. The third Quranic rule to the belief in Allah's decree is none can interfere with Allah's decree. Okay, we will read now from Surah number 71, Surah Nuh, verse number 4, to know about this Quranic rule. surah number 21, verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ لَا يُؤَخَّرْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ.
Really, the term of Allah when it comes cannot be delayed, but if you knew.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of everything in the heavens and in the earth. And if He commands something to happen, it can't be prevented. None can prevent a disaster or change any of Allah's decree. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Be mindful of Allah. You will find Him in front of you. Get to know Allah in prosperity, and He will know you in adversity. Know that what has passed you by was not going to befall you, and that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by." Actually, this is, you know, this Quranic rule must be clear to every one of us, so that we will be always accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying not, you know, to interfere with it or to change it or not to accept it, okay, because the decree of Allah can't change. Okay, we will know more about the will of Allah regarding His decree. We will read another surah, which is surah number 54, verse number 50, to know more about the will of Allah regarding His decree. Surah number 54, verse number 50. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمرنا إلا واحدة كلمح بالبصر. 55.
And our commandment is but one is the gleam of an eye.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that when He wills a thing to happen, He commands it once without the need to repeat it. And whatever Allah commands comes to existence faster than the blinking of an eye, without any delay, not even for an instant. So, this is actually, again, a proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that His decree can't be changed, and His commands will be so fast, more than the twinkling of an eye. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the proof about that rule in verse number 51 from the same surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا أَشْيَاعَكُمْ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. 51. Okay, I will. And indeed, we have destroyed your likes. Then, is there any that will remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 51 is mentioning the torment of the aerial nations, so that we can realize the reality of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which none can change or interfere with. So actually, regarding the fourth rule of the belief in Allah's decree, which is related to prevention of depression, the rule is that Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. It is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 286. We will read now about the rule from the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope.
Okay. Go ahead and read the whole.
He gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for the evil which he has earned.
Okay.
Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden like that which you did lay on those before us. Our Lord, put not on us a burden greater than we have strength to bear. Pardon us and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy upon us. You are our protector and our supporter, and give us victory over the disbelieving people.
actually it is within the frame of Allah's mercy that the believer is content in the belief that Allah is fully aware of his abilities and limitations and will not burden him or subject him to any hardship or trial beyond his scope. Every one of us as true believers in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be sure that this Quranic rule is a truth. Okay? What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that Allah, who creates every one of us, will be aware of the abilities and limitations of every one of us. And according to this rule, Allah will never put a burden on any one of us beyond his scope. This means that all the hardships, trials, and problems which we may face or have in our lives are within our abilities, a fact which leads to a feeling of acceptance and submission to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how wonderful is the case of a believer. There is goodness for him in everything, and this is not the case with anyone except for a believer. If prosperity attends him, he expresses gratitude to Allah, and that is good for him. And if adversity befalls him, he endures it patiently, and that is also good for him. In conclusion, the believer is always content with Allah's decree, assured that the Most Merciful will not charge his spirit with more than what it can tolerate. And also he is sure that there is always a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of prosperity, being thankful to Allah is a rewardable deed. And at the time of adversity, being patient with Allah's decree is also a rewardable deed. So let us prove our belief by living our life either thankful to Allah for all his great blessings or patient at the time of adversity. The second Quranic rule which is related to the belief in Allah's decree, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is that you may hate a thing and it is good for you. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 216. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون.
Jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for you Muslims, though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know not.
Actually, this verse is a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying that man can't pretend to know where his good lies. But Allah, the All-Knower, knows for certain. A fact that man must accept and act upon it by submitting himself to Allah's alone, accepting all Allah's decree, whether he like it or not, because he doesn't know the unseen. It is always noted that man, weak and short-sighted as he is, would reject something which is in fact good for him, or love something which is in fact evil and harmful for him. So the rule is by accepting that Allah alone has the knowledge of everything, and whatever Allah ordains is always for the best. This has to motive the believer to be patient at the time of adversity, because a pleasant and favorable outcome might be waiting for him. These comforting thoughts revive man's hopes and gets him more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more reassurance and acceptance. Again, sisters, it is the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe that Allah knows and you know not, and actually it is a basic fundamental belief that Allah is the only one who knows the unseen and we know not about the unseen. So if I don't know, you know, about the unseen, how I can evaluate any event of my life. I can evaluate the event from my point of view, but I am a short-sighted, ignorant human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has all the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified to us here this Quranic rule. You may like something and it is not good for you. So, as a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will always use this Quranic rule to give myself reassurance. Okay? Whenever any event happens to my life which I feel that it is harmful for me, I will tell to myself, remember, you know not, Allah knows everything. So long as you are a true believer in the oneness of Allah, submitting yourself totally to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you must be sure that inshallah there is good in that event, but we know not. As believers in Allah's decree, we accept all the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking inshallah for the reality of the event, hoping that that event is inshallah good for us, because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful. The next Quranic rule, which is related to the belief in Allah's decree, is actually mentioned in Surah Al-Asr, Surah Al-Sharh, Surah number 94, verse number 5 and 6. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will read the Quranic rule now from Rahman ar-Rahim. Now we will read Surah number 94. Rahman ar-Rahim. Alam nashrah laka sadrak, wa wada'na anka wizrak, alladhi anqada dhahrak, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, fa inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra, fa idha faraghta fansab, wa ila rabbika faraghab. We will read the whole surah in English.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Have we not opened your breasts for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and removed you from your burden which weighed down your back? And have we not raised high your fame? Verily, along with every hardship is relief. Verily, along with every hardship is relief. And there is one hardship with two reliefs, so one hardship cannot overcome two reliefs. So when you have finished your occupation, devote yourself to Allah's worship. And to your Lord alone, turn all your intentions and hopes.
Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this was a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give him the support and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will always make him the winner and Allah is always with him. And Allah is reminding him that he removed from him all the burdens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him to accept the message of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise his fame up, because the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only name which is mentioned with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the adhan and in the iqama and in the shahada. Okay, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the fame of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over all the human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again giving the full reassurance to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by repeating the same statement twice in the same surah. Verily, along with every hardship is relief. Verily, along with every hardship is relief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again advising Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and commanding him that when he have finished his mission by calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he has to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his intentions and hopes, and to forget completely about the response of the people to his mission, so long that he tried his best for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah is a message for every believer who is trying his best to obey the commands of Allah and to live Islam as a way of life, as Allah is sending this message of reassurance and hope to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the same message of reassurance and hope to every believer that hardship never comes absolute without some ease accompanying it. When your burden became too heavy, be sure that Allah will lift it up and Allah will relieve the hardship from your heart. This verse is actually a message of comfort to every believer, so that you will be sure that you must keep your spirit up at the time of hardship, because inshallah Eid is around. Okay, this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is running the whole life by the word be. So during the time of hardship, try all the time to look for the Eid, until inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send, make for you an outlet. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a similar message in Surah At-Talaq, Surah number 65, verse number 7. Inshallah we will learn about this message now. الله الرحمن الرحيم لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها سيجعل الله بعد عسر يسرا.
Allah puts no burden on any person beyond that which He has given him. Allah will grant after hardship ease.
Actually, it is very clear that each and every one of us has the impression that life is one difficulty after another, one task after another. But according to the Quranic rule which we learn now, we must believe that tough times only means that the time of ease are near. This is the fact, which means that nothing remains the same, nothing remains forever. Actually, we are the, inshallah, true believer in the oneness of Allah, and we are the ones whom we are sure that the mercy of Allah is all around us. Accordingly, we are the ones whom we have to live the practice of these verses of the Quran in our worldly life. We are not supposed just to recite the verses of the Quran and not to practice them in our worldly life, or to feel their effect in our spirits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that Allah will grant after hardship ease. And in the previous verse, Allah mentioned that with every hardship there is ease. So as true believer in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be always looking for the ease and the relief during the hardship, and also inshallah soon after the hardship. So my spirit will be all the time protected from the feeling of upset or anger or sadness or despair, because I am not living the feeling that I am in hardship. I am living the feeling that, as Allah mentioned, with every hardship there is ease. My spirit is living in the area of the ease, trying to feel it, inshallah, and also my spirit is waiting for the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah mentioned in Surah number 65, verse number 7. Always remind yourself that nothing remains the same. Try to remember your previous experience with the hardships and trials in your life, and be sure that nothing remains the same, nothing remains forever. This is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember that the morning lights after the darkness every day. Okay, the next Quranic rule which is related to the belief in Allah's decree is that trials expiate sins. We will read now from the Quran, from Surah number 11, Surah Hud, verse number 114. بالله الرحمن الرحيم وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين.
Surah 11, 114.
Yes.
Okay. And perform Bismillah ar-Rahim. And perform a salat at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night, and the five compulsory prayers. Verily, the good deeds remove the evil deeds. That is a reminder and advice for the mindful, those who accept advice.
Okay. Allah, yes. Allah Ta'ala is teaching a rule which is, verily, the good deeds remove the evil deeds. Okay? This is regarding the good deeds, that they will actually remove the evil deeds. Being patient at the time of trials is a good deed. Being patient at the time of trials will expiate your sins. This is one of the benefits of having trials in your worldly life. This is one of the benefits of the belief in Allah's decree. If you are a true believer in Allah's decree, you will be patient at the time of trial. So you will be rewarded for that patience. That reward will expiate some of your sins. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us many ahadith regarding to this rule. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never is a believer striking with a discomfort, an illness, an anxiety, a grief or mental worry, or even the breaking of the thorn, except that some of his sins are expiated for him. Okay, he also said the believing man or woman will continue to be afflicted by hardships in themselves, their families, and their wealth until they meet Allah with absolutely no sins. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the amount of the reward from Allah is proportional to the amount of hardship. And if Allah loves a slave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will try him in this world. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah has decreed a rank for one of his servants to reach, but his deeds wouldn't suffice him to reach this rank, then Allah will afflict him with hardship in his body, wealth, and offspring. Therefore, he will preserve through this until he reaches the rank that Allah has decreed for him to reach. I will clarify the meaning of this ahadith. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who face the toughest trials are the prophets, then those who are nearest to them, and a person will be tested according to the strength of his faith. The message of all these ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the one who is distressed or worried should know that whatever psychological or body pain afflicts him is not wasted, but it is for a purpose of increasing his good deeds and expiating his bad deeds. Muslims should realize that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If it not the disasters, hardship, and affliction, we would come empty-handed on the day of resurrection. Again and again, sisters, every one of us is trying to do good deeds, but every one of us also is having sins. Okay? Every one of us doesn't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will evaluate his deeds. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to feel safe as a believer, the believer will be always looking for the way to get rid of his sins. Okay? It is the trials, it is the patience at the time of trials and disasters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it to expiate the sins. So as a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for the paradise to be my final destination, having the worldly life as a farm, my main goal in this life is to collect as much as I can of the good deeds and to get rid of any sins. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will afflict me with a disaster, for example, a pain in my body, or a loss of part of my wealth, or whatever disease or affliction, as a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be patient with the decree of Allah, and I will be content that I am sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, wants me to get rid of all the sins which I have, which only Allah knows. Maybe I am not aware of my sins, but Allah knows my sins, and because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing for me these disasters and these trials, so that inshallah, because of my patience, I will be getting rid of all the sins, and inshallah, I will be inshallah in the paradise. When a person understands understands how the disaster that befall him expiate for his sins, he will rejoice and he will be thankful to Allah, especially if that happens to him straight after he has committed a sin. Sometimes you commit a sin, then you get very upset and you tell to yourself, for example, why I have that phone call which was full of backbiting? What can I do for these sins? Oh Allah, I am so upset. Then after half an hour, you start to have severe pain in one of your teeth. So you tell to yourself, all praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Through the pain of my teeth, I exhibit the sin of the phone call. Alhamdulillah. So this is how we believers, alhamdulillah, have to evaluate, you know, the trials, the hardships, the afflictions, and the calamities in our worldly life, because alhamdulillah, we are a believer in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those whom they are not clear about the belief in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they will have this phone call, and then they will have pain in their teeth after the phone call, they will be so upset. And they will be under the impression, oh Allah, I enjoyed a very nice phone call where I can have all the news about the people of Houston. But I can't enjoy it for a long time because of this pain in my teeth. How I am so unlucky. I was hoping that I will make another phone call to distribute all the news which I just have it now. This will make me more and more happy. Oh Allah, why I am not allowed to be happy? Why calamities are befalling me all the time? This is how most of the Muslims, whom they are not aware of the reality of the belief in Allah's decree, are living their lives, losing the good deeds and not getting the benefit of expiating their sins. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah wishes good for his slave, he hastens the punishment for his sin in this world. And if Allah doesn't wish good for his slave, then Allah withholds the punishment until the day of judgment. Again and again, sister, this hadith must be clear to every believer in the oneness of Allah, believer in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because just being Muslims by name, not clear about our belief in Allah or about the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to appreciate this hadith. Okay? Most of the Muslims are very upset when Allah will test them with calamities and with hardships. Okay? In this worldly life, okay? They prefer to live the worldly life in the best shape. And about the hellfire or the paradise, this is later. And Allah is the most merciful and no problem. But I want to enjoy the worldly life. This is how we are not aware of the reality of the belief in Allah and in the decree of Allah. It is the sign of the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is the sign that Allah wishes good for you when Allah will hasten the punishment for your sins in this worldly life. And it is a sign that Allah doesn't wish good for you if Allah will withhold the punishment until the day of judgment. So if a big number of Muslims are not praying regularly and are not actually living Islam as a way of life, and then the most important concern for them is to have a very enjoyable worldly life. This means that they don't understand anything of the reality of the worldly life, the reality of the belief in Allah's decree, the reality of their relation with Allah, the reality of their sins and their good deeds. And may Allah forgive most of the Muslims, or all the Muslims, forgive us and forgive the Muslims. Again, as a true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten for us the punishment for our sins in this worldly life, because this is a sign that Allah wishes good for us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We want Allah to hasten the punishment for us before the day of judgment, because the punishment in the day of judgment is so severe to the degree that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Okay? The next belief, the next rule in the belief in Allah's decree, which can prevent and treat depression for the Muslim, is the declaration of every believer with regard to Allah's decree. Allah mentioned that declaration in Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 51.
Surah number 9, verse number 51.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون.
Say nothing shall ever happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our Lord, helper and protector. And in Allah let the believers put their trust.
Actually, this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to his followers, the Muslim believers, to say and declare that all affairs are up to Allah only, a declaration which makes the controller of all the affairs to become the guardian whom all trust has to be put in him. This verse will always encourage the feeling of comfort, relief, tranquility, and the feeling of trust in Allah during the very difficult times of life. Again, sisters, here, after we learn about all the rules of the belief in Allah's decree, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let me summarize these rules so that this declaration of belief will be clear in your spirit, clear in your mind, so that you will live your life with this declaration of belief regarding the belief in Allah's decree, a feeling which none can feel it, have its mercy, except the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A feeling which will always makes you to have healthy spirit, healthy body, full trust in Allah, good manners with everyone, hope for the paradise, inshaAllah, and you will be motivated to live Islam as a way of life in every aspect and in every minute and in every place, because you are sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the controller of all the affairs, is your guardian, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you in every time and in every place, inshaAllah. So now we will again summarize the rules of the belief in Allah's decree, which are extremely important for the spirit of every believer and for the mind of every believer to protect against depression. These rules are: number one, all hardships and affliction are recorded before their creation. Life is run by the word be. None can interfere with Allah's decree. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. It may be that you hate a thing and it is good for you. Verily, with every hardship there is ease, and trials expiate the sins. For every one of us, we must have time with these rules, because we are in great need of these rules. Life is full of trials and hardship. And in our days, nowadays, it is the selfishness, the character of most of the human being. If you will not take care of yourself, none will take care of you. How can I take care of myself? By protecting it against any feeling of sadness, loneliness, helplessness, and depression. And how can I protect myself before treating it? In Islam, we must protect ourselves rather than to treat ourselves. How can I protect myself? I can protect myself by having these rules very clear in my spirit, so that I will be in continuous link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the full trust that whatever Allah decreed for me was already written. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that there is an ease with every hardship. After every hardship, there is an ease. Allah will never put in me any burden. Whatever problems I have in my life, I am sending this message to my spirit. My spirit, Muna, be sure. All the burdens, you can tolerate it. Just look for the ease. Just live in the area of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the time, remind yourself that through these trials, you are getting ready rid of your sins. So your way to the paradise, inshallah, is more close, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always take care of you. I am not in need of any human being. I am not in help of anyone. Alhamdulillah, I am full confident with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am living in the ease of the hardships of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for the ease after every hardship from my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am living my life with the only word, all praise to Allah for everything. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. The next rule in order to prevent depression is patience. So now we will know about the next treatment and prevention of depression of Islam, which is patience, as-sabr, which is the cure of every difficulty. As-sabr is the internal power which you need to build so that it will support you to practice your belief. Through as-sabr, being patient, you can control your desires and keep yourself always obeying Allah's commands regarding to do and not to do. Also, you will not complain regarding any of Allah's decrees. You will just be looking for the ease and relief from Allah, looking for paradise as a reward for your patience. Through as-sabr, with Allah's decree, you must turn your heart to your Lord only, calling on Him with all the hope in His mercy and all the trust in His support and help. Through your sabr, patience, you can protect your spirit from any of the bad feelings which accompany disasters such as despair, loneliness, loss of self-confidence. You can protect yourself from depression. Actually, I explained all about patience in the classes of patience, and I feel this summary is enough for, you know, the topic of patience is the cure of every difficulty. Inshallah, next week we will continue to learn about the Islamic lines of prevention and treatment of depression, and inshallah, let us make the dua. الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Oh Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Oh Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. Oh Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Oh Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. Oh Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.